just because you're broken, you're still capable to make a positive impact on others. I'm inviting everyone to church tomorrow. Show up and you'll find a variety of broken people who have found out that Jesus can still use your life for his glory, no matter how broken you are. So that's the heart of our missionary, Drew Bowers. And even when he's not out and going, doing this and that, disaster relief, he's on Facebook promoting his church and say, hey, come to church. We're all just a bunch of broken people that need healing. And so we want to pray for Drew and his family. They have a new little guy named Banks that's keeping him up all night. You guys remember that if you have kids? That's what they're going through. So missionaries are just people like us with kids, and they're wanting to serve the Lord. So that's Drew and his family. Let's pray for them and that they would be used mightily. When the next disaster hits, they're going to go out and give help in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the Bowers and Driven Missions, and we pray that we would have that same kind of heart to just go out and be ready to be used, even in spite of the fact that we're broken. Maybe because we're broken, we can best be used. And thank you, Lord, for using me, this broken fool that's now on the way to heaven. And thank you for those that Drew and his family will impact, and pray that there'll be many saved through his mission in just helping people in the name of Jesus. And it's in his mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, come on forth. We'll take up our offering this morning. Many of you have been wondering about Children's Church. Usually we have it on Sunday mornings, but Miss Sandy Perrigo has been very ill with the flu and a couple other viruses that she's still dealing with. And so until she's able to get her strength back, we're not going to be able to have Children's Church on Sunday mornings. But if there's somebody who would like to volunteer and say, Brother Brian, I'll work with the children on Sunday mornings, all you got to do is let me know. We'll get you involved with serving the Lord in that area. But please pray for Miss Sandy as she continues to heal and get stronger. All right? All right. Brother Steve, would you please pray for the offering?
Thank you. got a book out there this morning and you want us to join us, we're going to be in the church hymnal. We're going to be singing number 179. 179 in the church hymnal. You can remain seated while we sing this song if you'd like. 179 in the church hymnal. 179. Feel my way with love.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the home above. Giving cheer everywhere, the sad and the lone. Feel my way every day with love. Feel my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day with love.
On that last verse now.
The race will be o'er and I'll travel.
Number 133 in your church hymnal. Choir's going to come down as we're singing this. 133, I feel like traveling on.
My heavenly home is bright and
now.
The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling.
Y'all fellowship around a little bit.
I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Amazing Grace now.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we
that was uncomfortable, wasn't it? I saw some of you looking around thinking, what's going on? Some of you may have been thinking, well, I guess it's done. Time for us to go home. Maybe you looked over at somebody and said, has he gone crazy? We got to do something. That was only 45 seconds of nothing. And it's amazing how hard it is for us to just sit still. We're so used to doing something. We're so used to listening to this or watching that. Isn't it amazing that we've gotten to the point in our lives where we cannot sit still for even 30 seconds without picking up our phone and scrolling, seeing what's going on in other people's lives, turning on the television to watch other people's lives' disasters, or getting on the telephone and talking about other people's lives' disasters, or doing and involving ourselves in things that really mean nothing.
See, the problem is impatience can often lead to disaster in our lives. We've got it so set in our mind that we've got to be doing something. And if we can't do nothing, then that means we got to do something. Somebody ought to do something. Impatience. Now, oftentimes the reaction that we have towards impatience is impulsiveness. Sometimes we go back to doing what we used to do that was disastrous, so we could go back to it was comfortable. Sometimes we get impatient and we do something because somebody's got to do something. It's hard to just wait. Wait on the Lord. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 32, so find Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to show you a time where impatience led to great disaster. So find Exodus chapter 32. It's one of the hardest books to find in the Bible. You find Genesis, and then Exodus is the very next book. Okay? Chapter 32 comes before chapter 33, in case you can't find that. When you find chapter 32, hold your finger right there, or a piece of paper, or a pen, or your neighbor's toe, or whatever it takes. Bookmark that chapter right there, because we're going to come back to it in just a moment. But Exodus chapter 32 is where we're going to take the main part of the message from. Once you find Exodus chapter number 32, I want you to find the book of Philippians. That's over in the New Testament. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Impatience. It's kind of like when 12 o'clock hits, you're wanting me to be done so you can go eat. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. The Holy Spirit uses Paul to give us these words. Be careful for nothing. The word careful means don't be anxious. Don't be impatient. Don't be impulsive. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be impulsive. Don't be careless. But instead, in everything, underline that word everything. Everything. And that 45 minutes or 45 seconds of silence, were you praying? And that 45 seconds of silence, were you confused? And that 45 seconds of silence, were you wondering? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now, the word thanksgiving means thanking God that He's going to answer according to His will. Not that He's going to answer according to what you want. He's not going to answer the way you want necessarily. He's going to answer according to what He wants. So when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling impatient, when you're feeling like you're scared, when you're wanting an answer, the Bible tells us, the Holy Spirit says, listen, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, saying, God, I thank you for what you're going to do in this. Thank you. Let your request be made known unto God. So that means you're already telling God, thank you. Father, I'm feeling anxious about this, but I thank you that you're going to answer. God, I'm impatient in this situation, but God, I thank you that your will is going to be done. That's hard to do. That's hard for us to say, okay, God, I know your will is going to be done. And I know it may not be what I want, but God, I thank you that you're going to do it. That's difficult to do because we have our set ways. We have our ideas. We have our desires. And saying, God, you do what you want to do, is rather difficult for us to do. And if you were honest this morning, you would admit that, because I'm admitting it. But he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you'll do that, if you'll practice this, look what's going to happen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You'll stop being impatient about that situation. Now, you won't stop being impatient in life, because honestly, every day we're anxious about something. Every day we're impatient about things. Every day we're wanting it and how we want it, when we want it. Every day that happens. You say, well, prove it. We'll just get into a traffic jam when the train comes through. Don't look at me like you've never got impatient at that time, especially at 3:05 when school is letting out and the train is going through and you got to get somewhere 10 minutes ago. Amen? See, the problem is we get impatient because we think our priorities is everybody else's priorities. We think our priorities are more important than God's priorities. And God says, using modern vernacular, and my kids are going to be embarrassed, chill, dude. My son's the one that just hit his head. Chill. Don't be impatient. All right? Don't be impatient. So now, with that thought process in your mind, don't let impatience drive what you do. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, the Holy Spirit used Paul to write those words, but he also used Paul to write these words for us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And here's the reason we're going to be in Exodus chapter 32. Here's the reasoning behind it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 1. Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to believers. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the seas. Talking about Israel and their history. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did eat all the same spiritual meat. They had the same God. They had the same situation. They were being fed the same way. They were being clothed the same way. God was taking care of them all the same way. He was working miracles and meeting their needs. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink. And they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. He's saying, listen, they all had the same opportunities. They had all the same maker. They had the same God. They were all taken care of the same. There was none of them higher than anybody else, he's saying. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In other words, even though they had everything, even though God was taking care of everything, even though God had told them, this is what you're going to do, they got impatient. And some of them died in that impatience. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. He says, what we're going to learn from what happened in our past is that we need to learn impatience leads to disaster. They were impatient. God told them, I'm going to deliver you from the Egyptians. I'm going to meet your need. I've got a land waiting for you, flowing with milk and honey. You don't even have to fight when you get there. I'll clear the land. I'll provide everything for you. Just go. And as soon as they left Egypt and they saw the Red Sea in front of them, they began to gripe and they began to say, Moses, you've led us out here to die. Why can't we just get on some Huey helicopters and 747s and fly to the promised land? Why do we have to walk through the desert? Moses, we might as well just go back to Egypt because it was a whole lot better back then. Are you out of your minds? Now that's all in the modern translation right there. But they were griping and complaining from the very beginning because they wanted to be in the promised land and they wanted to be there now. But in the meantime, God said, there's some things you've got to go through in order to be ready to occupy the promised land. You're going to get there. I provided it for you. But until that happens, and here's a cuss word. Some of you don't like this cuss word. Be patient. I want patience and I want it now. Patience. May I tell you, oftentimes impatience leads to disaster. So go back to Exodus 32. Let's look at the example that we see. This is just one of the examples that we see where impatience leads to disaster. In their journey to the promised land, after they passed through the Red Sea, God would often speak to Moses, and he would call Moses and say, Moses, come with me. You and I are going to have a conversation. I'm going to give you the commandments. I'm going to give you the lead. I'm going to give you what to tell the people, what to teach the people. But it's going to be me and you, Moses, because the people can't handle it. I'm putting you in control. So God calls Moses up, and he brings him to the mount. And Joshua goes with him, but only about halfway. And he meets with Moses by himself, and he begins to tell Moses what he wants to tell the people. But the problem is, when Moses leaves the people don't know what to do. They're so used to God leading Moses and telling Moses what to do and how to lead them that when Moses leaves for any time period, they become impatient. He'd never been gone this long before. 10 days go by. What do we do, Aaron? Just chill. It's okay. Moses, he'll be back. 20 days go by. Aaron, where do we go? We're sitting here. We're not moving anywhere. My wife is griping at me because guess what? I'm not doing what I need to be doing. I should be mowing the yard and she doesn't like it. 30 days go by. Aaron, have you heard from Moses and Joshua? Maybe God killed them. 40 days go by. Now they're a problem. Aaron, it's been 40 days. Maybe God just killed Moses and his body's laying up there on the mountain and we know we can't go up to the mountain, so maybe he's dead. So maybe we just need to go ahead and do what we're going to do and just go on with life without Moses. Now, of course, Philippians wasn't written at this time, but the same God that wrote Philippians is the same God who had taken care of them up all this time. The same God. And he had told them all the time, you're going to the promised land. I'll provide the food, I'll provide the clothing, I'll provide the way, I'll provide the leadership. Just trust me. Well, but come on, Brother Brian, 40 days is a long time. Some of us, 45 seconds is a long time. What do we do? I mean, we got to do something. May I give you some advice? When things aren't going at the speed that you want them to go, just do this. I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to you. My wife, sometimes at the house, when everything is, you know, we've been going and going and going and going, and I don't like to just sit there and not do nothing. I feel like I'm missing out. And she just looks at me and says, we've been going all week. Why don't you just sit down? I can't. I act like somebody's been drinking 2 pots of coffee. Deep breath. And talk to God. The people don't do that here in Exodus chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, verse 1, the people gathered themselves together. That's the problem. What should they have done? They should have talked to God to begin with. They gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, "Make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." Did Moses bring them out of Egypt? No. Who brought them out of Egypt? God did. He just used Moses to lead them. They didn't have Moses. They didn't know what to do. So they began to take things into their own hands. They went to Aaron, the second in command. Aaron, obviously Moses is not coming back. We don't know what's going on. So Moses, I know that he'd want us to go ahead and make our own gods. I know that we can't see God because he's talking to Moses right now, maybe. So we need something that's tangible. We need something that we can touch. We need something that we can see, just like the Egyptians did. We want to be like that again because we can't trust God. We want to be able to touch him. Are you like that sometimes? I know God exists and I know God's who he is, but you know what? I like to be able to touch him. I remember going to Bible college. And back then, when I was in Bible college, we didn't have cell phones and internet. We had what's called a phone with buttons and dials. How many of y'all remember those phones? Okay, all right. And long distance from Jacksonville, Florida, Fort Walton Beach, was about $1.50 a minute sometimes. And I remember calling my sweet wife, fiance at the time, talking to her. And I knew she was on the other side of the line. I knew she was there, but I couldn't see her. And I was so anxious to get home or get back to Fort Walton and get to see her and hug her. And now, boys and girls, close your ears. I couldn't wait to give her kisses. I know. The preacher doesn't supposed to do that. But I couldn't wait to get to Fort Walton Beach to hold her and kiss her and be with her. I knew she was there. But it was hard. The people knew that God existed. They'd seen him work, but they couldn't touch him, so they began to doubt and wonder about it. Aaron, make us something that we could worship and tangibly worship. Now, Aaron should have stood up and said, "You bunch of fools, just chill out. Moses will be back." But instead, look what he does. And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them to me." Go ahead and let's get this done. Let's not hesitate. Give me all your gold. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it unto a graven tool with a graving tool. And he made a molten calf. And they said, "These be our gods, O Israel," and brought them up out of the land of Egypt. We're going to make a golden calf and we're going to worship that golden calf because he's really the one that brought us up out of Egypt. Alarm bells ought to be ringing in their minds right now. But it ought to be ringing in your minds too. If God said something's going to happen and he's going to do something and God has a way and a path picked out, impatience will lead to disaster in that. Now, I was going to preach on marriage this morning, but God led me in this direction instead. But I'm going to touch on marriage in just a second. Young people, those of you who aren't married yet, listen to me. Before you get married to somebody, get set in your mind, you can't change them. Only God can change them. Don't go into the marriage with the mindset, "Well, I'm going to do it my way and things are going to go my way," and they're going to be like, "No." Don't get impatient when you're choosing a future mate. And all the moms and dads said, "That's free. That ain't cost you nothing." So the people began to worship this golden calf, but they weren't sufficed with that. Verse number 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. They forgot who God was. They forgot what God had done for them. God had moved and spoken to their hearts and done anything for 40 days. And so they began to choose other gods. They became impatient. They wanted to be led. They wanted to be directed. So maybe another god will suffice. But may I tell you that that golden calf was a horrible substitute for the true and living God. Now you say, well, Brother Brian, why did God include? Remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote and he said, all these things that happened are for an example for us to learn from. I'm stubborn. And there's times that somebody can tell me not to do something, but I'll go ahead and do it anyway. I should learn from other people's mistakes. I should learn from what other people have said or done or not done. I should say, you know what? I don't want to go there. But why is it that we're so dumb to do that? Because we think we're the one that's going to be different. Children of Israel were impatient. Here's the amazing thing. God was aware of what was going on. Look at the next verse. And the Lord said it on 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves, and they have turned aside quickly." Underline that. They've become impatient. "They have turned out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.'" Wow. Do you know anybody who's stiff-necked? I'm not asking you, are you married to somebody who's stiff-necked? Because guess what? You know the most stiff-necked person in the world is the one that you look at the mirror every day? Stubborn. God knew what was going on. He says, "Moses, I'm going to use some vernacular. You better skedaddle down the mountain. You better get back to them folks, because they're doing some stupid stuff. They're impatient, and they're going to create a disaster." So sure enough, Moses starts hauling himself down the mountain. He grabs Joshua and says, "Joshua, we got to go." See, but here's the problem. When Moses went up the mountain, he had nothing to carry but his staff. When he come back down the mountain, he had two big old tablets of stone and a staff to carry. See, God had written all these things that he was teaching him on the stone for 40 days. Two of them. And now here's Moses carrying two big old tablets of stone, his staff, and trying to get down the mountain. And as he gets down the mountain, him and Joshua are talking. And Joshua, as he gets closer to the camp, Joshua says, "Wait a minute, I hear battle. I hear something going on. It sounds like a war going on. We got to get Moses." And Moses says, "Joshua, that's singing. That's dancing that you're hearing. That ain't physical warfare. That's spiritual warfare." And it's right there in chapter 32. You can read that. So they get down to the camp. And Moses looks and sees. Here we pick it up here in chapter 32. Verse number 18. And he, Moses, said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery or battle, neither is it a voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and brake them beneath the mountain. He got so disgusted that he lost his patience and he broke those tablets. I'm sure in his mind he was thinking, "You idiots! What are you doing? I've only been gone for a few days. What are you doing?" May I tell you, I understand the frustration. How much frustrated was God with us sometimes? He doesn't call us idiots, though. I think he just simply says, "My child, I've got something better for you. I've just asked you to trust me. I know what I've got for you. Just trust me." But God, it's been 45 seconds. My dear child, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him. Didn't we just cover that? He throws the tablets down, he breaks them. And he took the calf which they had made and he burnt it in the fire and he ground it to powder. He is mad. And he strawed it upon the water. He put it up. I don't know how this happened, but it did. And he made the children of Israel to drink of it. Wow! Now, how did he do that? He had a wonderful Vitamix, is what he had. And he put it in there and grabbed. Here you go. I don't know how he did it, but it got happened. And he says, "Here, drink. You want a God? Drink it." Whew. How many of you think he was mad? And Moses said unto Aaron, the second in charge, "Why did this people, what did this people unto thee that thou brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto, make us gods, and we shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. And they gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf." Well, they brought me the gold like I asked them to. I just kind of threw it in the fire, and this calf formed. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, see, they weren't only singing, they were dancing around this calf without clothes on. Whew. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Was there ever a time, or has there ever been a time that God told us to take our clothes off to worship him? I'm going to burn that image out of my mind. So why did they think it was necessary to do that? Because it was a new God. They lost their patience. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. On the way down the mountain, God told Moses, "Moses, I've had enough of these people. I'm sick of them. What I'm going to do, Moses, I'm going to kill the people. I'm going to get rid of every single one of them, and I'm going to use you to repopulate them." Moses said, "God, if you do that, you're going to make yourself look foolish in the eyes of the Egyptians." Now, did God not know that? Of course. So why was he telling that to Moses? Because he wanted Moses to understand what grace and mercy was really all about. So when Moses got back to camp, he said, "Folks, here's the deal. If you're going to be on God's side, come on back." Now wait a minute. They got through making a false god, and they got through taking their clothes off in worship and doing all kinds of ungodly things. Why would God be patient towards that? Why didn't God just go ahead and get rid of every single one of them and start all over again? Because God's mercy endures forever. Even when we're impatient, God still has mercy toward us. Brothers and sisters, before you make a decision, won't you stop and think, what does God want before you do it? Impatience usually leads to disaster. I was engaged before I met my wife. And I was impatient. I wanted to marry this young lady. I didn't care what God wanted. I wanted what I wanted. But I'm glad that God caused that relationship to break up. Because there's no way that I'd be doing what I'm doing now if I would have followed through. I'm glad God stopped that in a heartbeat. Because then He brought the best woman in the entire universe to me. I'm winning brownie points, aren't I? I decided to surrender and just be patient. Because I was 24 years old before that. I was getting old. I didn't think anybody was going to marry me. I was getting ready to give up. But God brought Melissa into my life. And I got married when I was 27. That's old. I'm glad that I waited. What is it that you're anxious about and scared and impatient about today? What is it that you're trying to figure out and you're trying to do in your own power and your own strength? What is it? Can I invite you? God, this is my heart. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is what's on my heart. Would you please show me? Be anxious about nothing. But in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding. Isn't that what the Bible says? So why did we read and understand Exodus 32 so that we can apply Philippians chapter 4? There it is. So you've got a choice now. As you leave this morning and you go back to your normal life, whatever that looks like, you've got a choice to make. You're going to apply God's word, or you're going to keep going the direction you're going and making them golden calves? It applies to me just like it applies to you. And I tell this to you because I care. Because I care. I'm not perfect. I'm going to get impatient. But I'm praying that God would open my stubborn heart up to Him and say, "Enough's enough, son. Just believe and trust me." Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. See, here's the wonderful thing about this whole situation. Miss Doris, as you come to play,